Thank you for listening to this message from Hope Fellowship in Carrollton, Texas. We pray this message encourages you and impacts your life. Feel free to pass this MP3 along to your friends and family. And for more information, visit us on the web at hopedfw.com.
You know, religion will tell us we got to be the thunder all the time. Anybody ever hear that? You got to be the thunder all the time. You got to have prayer equal this amount of time or all of this of that. And now you got to have the harp playing. You got to have the sweet candlelight time together. And that's really what I want to share on today, just quickly, on prayer, is that prayer is nothing more than learning how to lean into God. Prayer is truly knowing how to talk to a friend to a friend. New Testament, you could say father, son. You could say bridegroom, bride. But if you have your Bibles, let's turn to, let's first start out in Genesis 6. Excuse me, Genesis 5:21. I hope today's message is going to make prayer so easy and so fun. If I could be so bold and you'd be so brave, how many of you see prayer as just a duty 50% of the time of your Christian journey? Would you raise your hand? And you just, it's a work, it's a striving. There's a few honest folks here. There's a few honest folks. Some shaking your head and afraid to raise your hand. Yeah. We all do it. We've all had that. I mean, you know, the enemy does a good job. He puts those pressures on us that, well, you're really not a good Christian if you don't pray. And, you know, because you didn't pray for this person long enough, well, you're not a good Christian. Anybody hear those thoughts other than me? Of course we all do. He's the accuser of the brethren. And if you pray for 1 hour, what will the devil come in and tell you? You really don't love God that much because you didn't pray for 1 hour and 15 minutes. He'll always try to get it to step further out, and God's anointing may have been for you to pray for 1 hour in that time. But the enemy will always try to make you feel guilty and shameful that you didn't work. That's the reason many of us had to come up here today, because the enemy does a good job of lying to us that you didn't serve Jesus well enough. Right? Because all the enemy's trying to do, he cannot take the spiritual eraser and wipe you out of the names book of life where you're going to go to heaven. All he tries to do is to mess up your intimacy with God. Because see, if he can get you into striving in your prayer life and striving when you read the Word, when we get into striving, guess what we move into absence of? Revelation. See, striving to try to prove to the enemy, when the enemy showed up and told Jesus, he said, if you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread because I know you're hungry. And Jesus didn't get into striving to prove that he was a friend to the Father or the Son to the Father. He just simply said, nah, I love eating my Father's bread. And I don't have to do some trick for you. If I could be so bold, some of you are being a trick to the devil. Because when he tries to get you to doubt your love for God by the amount of time you spend with him or all those other different things, you're like the dog that's chasing after the frisbee all the time. You're in the park, you're having fun, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you're always working hard because the enemy's doing a good job of getting you to chase after a frisbee and you're not able to be who God's created you to be. You see, there's got to be a part in our prayer life every day that it's about intimacy. It's about the harp. So that was such a good word. That word just wasn't for Darren. It was for this house. You see, if my prayer life is always about the thunder, my thunder will eventually turn into religion and be very, very harsh. The first part of prayer always, always should be thankfulness and intimacy. Amen? So let's look at this dude. Old Testament. I loved how Rebecca talked about it. You know, we have a better covenant, it says in Hebrews. So here's the Old Testament dude, and it's right about the time that the Noah situation is going to be coming on. So there's a lot of unrighteousness in the land, right? Say yes. If you don't know the Scripture, I'm telling you truth. I'm not leading you astray. Well, there's some unrighteousness in this nation. And there's some unrighteousness in the world. What's the opposite that we need to deal with the unrighteousness? Is intimacy. Now this guy, Enoch, he must have had some crazy intimacy with the Lord. Because this is a wild day, and I don't know how long the season went, but verse 21, when Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. And Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. God didn't kill him. I really believe, as it says in Revelations, there'll come a time at the end of the ages that there'll be two witnesses come back and do great exploits declaring really who Jesus Christ is. I've heard many people say that it's Moses and Elijah. I believe it's going to be Enoch and Elijah. Because Scripture says this, that every person has to die a physical death. And I believe that those two witnesses, not trying to preach on a theology of revelations, but I really do believe, and I think that's the reason I encourage you to get into the Word and know the Word more and more. I believe the two witnesses that will come back that it talks about in Revelations is Enoch, because he never physically died. God was so enjoying the fellowship with him. Can you imagine? Courtney, come walk with me. You're going to be an illustrated sermon. Come on. I mean, they're walking as friends, and they're talking about things. And I mean, I don't know if it went on for 65 years. They were just enjoying the journey together. And then they would turn, it'd be another day, and they would walk, and they would walk. And then God just probably got to thinking, I love Enoch's fellowship so much, I'm just going to take him all the way to heaven with him, with me right now. Awesome. I'll send you your check in the mail. That's the way prayer is. No, we may not be able to physically walk with somebody, but did you know your spirit person's stronger than your flesh if you'll let it be? See, Matt's word was so important. The reason our flesh has so much dominion on us, our priorities are all messed up. See, I don't know if you realize how powerful today's service is. A prophetic word comes forth, and priorities have been turned upside down. And God's the number one priority for you now. No matter how it's been over this last season, God gives a prophetic word. Matt comes up and says, man, I've never done this before, but here's a word. So isn't it cool that God gave such an awesome word to somebody who's never done it? So here God says, okay, you want priorities shifted around? And see, you're going to have to make some changes. Please hear me. But there's grace to do it. See, when a word comes forth, there's grace, there's this abundance of oil for you to easily make that transition. It's kind of like having a car and driving a car with no oil in it. Might make it a half a block, I'm not too sure, not a great mechanic or anything like Rhett or some of the rest of you, but it's going to go out. Much of our Christian walk, we're not having a lot of oil of the Holy Spirit in it. And that's the reason we get into striving. You and I get to walk around truly, as in Psalms 133, when it says that they anointed Aaron that day, and the oil ran from the top of his head down to his beard and just soaked his entire body. If you could see your life, and my life ought to be like that every day in the spirit realm. But you see, the enemy's trying to get us out of intimacy. Just like Mary and Martha. And we have too many Marthas in this house. And I can be a Martha. You know the story of Luke 10, 38 and 42? Great story. Jesus comes, and can you imagine? Jesus is unloading kingdom stuff. And he's just talking, and he's sharing about the love of the Father, and he's sharing about who he is. And all of a sudden, Martha gets so distracted that she determines, well, I got to get up and I've got to go make Jesus this spectacular meal. Too many of us are being distracted by something that we think is a greater priority, when the greatest priority at all is being in intimacy with the Lord. And then when Martha, and see, when we get distracted and we get serving, when God's called for intimacy, we get angry at everybody else. where religion kind of starts kicking in. And have you ever noticed that edge getting on you? And have you ever asked God, God, why am I so edgy? 99.9% of the time, it's what God will tell you. You've neglected the one thing that I'm looking for in you, Mike. It's intimacy. I encourage you, the next time you get edgy with your spouse, or you're edgy with your children, or edgy with an employer, check your resume of how much time you're spending in a place of intimacy with him. And I guarantee you, almost 99.9% of the time, it'll be because, yeah, you may be praying intercession for people, but you're not praying from a place of intimacy. See, God just wants to talk to us as a friend talks to a friend. See, that's the reason he loves to talk sports with me. God really does. He loves to talk and show himself in movies to me because I'm his friend. He's put it in me to like movies. He's put it in me to like sports. And because of Brad Burns 20 years ago, I like business and stuff like that now because of that rebuke he needed to give me. But that was good. So even last night, I'm watching a 40-minute business show thinking, wow, that I understand of kingdom principles. You see, God wants to speak through everything if we'll allow him, but we have to live from a place of intimacy. We get to walk with him. I want to be like Enoch, and I get to live in a better covenant. There ought to be a day sometime they go, well, where's Mike? I don't know. We haven't seen him for a week. You know, maybe God just took him home. Seriously, that should be said about every New Testament believer. Because we live in a better covenant. And we need to quit allowing distractions and the priorities that God's never set for us to take over in our lives. Amen? All right, let's journey together. Because I'm telling you, man, your prayer life's going to be different from this time. Can I tell you that praying to God is just an exchange of life? You see, when my children and I sit down and talk when they were little or even as they get older, it's not just about me doing all the talking. It's about me listening to my kids' desires and their desires of their hearts and their struggles of their hearts. This morning, Jason Jones, he shows up early, and we probably sat down and talked for 40 minutes. And to listen to the joys of his heart and the joys of his job that he just got a little bit ago and his struggles of the different things going on, I just love sitting there and listening to it. You see, I'm evil, though, Scripture says, compared to this daddy in heaven. Can you imagine how he loves to hear Randy talk to him about the joys of his heart and the joys of his day? It's not just about God speaking 99.9% of the time. No, it's a give and take. When I pray, when I have a conversation with God, it's an exchange of life. It's an exchange of life. Acts 12, read it later. Great story. James is killed one day. Herod sees how excited it makes all of the heathens in those days. So he arrests Peter, throws him in prison, locks Peter to prison guards, has him in chains, has him deep within the jail cell. But the church started to pray. You see, we've got to get to a place where we really understand prayer, that God has given us the authority to be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. And all of this, we're going to be talking in prayer in the days ahead. Because you see, the original mandate was that we were to be fruitful, we were to multiply, and we were to subdue the earth. You see, subduing the earth, chains can't hold a man down. Prison doors have to open. Prison guards fall under a sleep that they could sleep for a week because God just so knocks them out. A gate in that story as Peter's walking and he's thinking it's a dream, he's thinking it's a vision, and all of a sudden he gets out there and he realizes, wow, this is really going on. And he comes to this closed down gate, and because the church is praying, a gate opens. That's subduing the earth. You see, we've got to get to this place that we really believe that we have an authority to speak to the mountains and see them disappear. And they will when we learn to live from a place of intimacy. All of a sudden, my intimacy one day will go to a place I can pray for Juarez and see the capital city, the capital murder of the world radically transformed. You see, we don't need to start looking at those as hard things. No, they're easy things if we learn to take the baby steps into the place of intimacy. Amen? All right, so I just want to talk a little bit about the exchange of life in our time that we have left. Let's turn to Malachi 3:15. I want you to see, again, this is Old Testament. We have a better covenant under the New Testament. I want you to keep getting that. 3:16 of Malachi, it's the book right before Matthew. Now, think of the courtroom, not the courtroom, the heavenly throne room going on about a daddy who loves his children. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. And the Lord listened to what they said. And in His presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared Him and always thought about the honor of His name. This morning, when Jason and I are talking for 30 to 45 minutes, God had an angel take out a pen, if you will, if you can see it prophetically. And he started scrolling and writing down in a book of remembrance of Jason and my journey together. When my wife and I, as we just celebrated 30 years anniversary, and when we talked about the faithfulness of God when we were having dinner on Tuesday night, can I tell you, God was sitting there penning the very thoughts as we honored His name? Can you imagine the Library of Congress, or the greatest library you want to envision, cannot hold any comparison to the library in heaven that Almighty Daddy writes of remembrance when you and I sit around and talk about Him? Because you see, if we can get this revelation, I want to pray. Because I know my daddy loves to hear what I have to say. And he knows that I would love to listen to him as he imparts the very character of who he is deeper into my life. Amen? There's an exchange of life. There's Acts 16. Remember Paul and Silas, they cast out a demonic spirit out of a young girl that day. The exchange of life. They're sitting in a jail cell. They've been beaten. They didn't clean up their blood or their bruises. And they're probably sitting there in prison with their clothes still torn off of them. And rod hits all over them. And dried up blood now, a few hours removed from the beating. Exchange of life in a conversation with God. They start praying and they start worshiping and thanking Him. Oh, what a Savior. Can you imagine what they did in that jail cell compared to what we were doing a while ago? I think we were a little timid compared to what they did. Oh, what a Savior. Jesus, man, we saw the eyes of that young girl that went from darkness to life when we proclaimed in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. And they started this prayer meeting in exchange of life. You see, there's an economy that happens from earth to heaven and heaven to earth. They start worshiping and praying in an exchange of life. All of a sudden, God causes an earthquake to come into the midst of their place of worship and prayer. And if you know the story, all the prison doors open to the jail cell there. Any prisoner could have taken off. And if you read that today, it's amazing. It says that every prisoner sat there. Why? Because their spirit, man, and their soul was finding life from two men that knew who and what life was about. I've been in jail a few times. I guarantee if that would have ever happened, I would have been darting out that jail cell. But there was life there. You see, where there's life of Christ, you're going to be there. Even if it's a dungy prison cell. Exchange of life. And all of a sudden, man, the prison guard comes running in there, just knows that every prisoner had to have vanished, escaped. And it says he goes back to pull out a sword to kill himself. And Paul says, whoa, 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 whoa. No reason to hurt yourself. We've had an exchange of life in here. Not one prisoner have left. Prayer is just being friends with God. Because you see, He loves you. He loves you even on the day that you are struggling the most with who you are and the struggles that you're going through in life. He loves you. It's an exchange of life. It's learning to lean into God. Just real quickly, I'm going to close with these last couple of stories. Tuesday morning, our 30th wedding anniversary, God wakes me up at 2:30. And He wants me to get up and pray. Now, I'm going to tell you my struggles sometimes in prayer, because that was not on my agenda to get up at 2:30, because I knew He was going to have a long day. I knew we were going on a date that night and all of that stuff. And I said, oh, God. But I could feel it. You know, you can just feel the breath of God when He comes into the room, when He moves in your heart, and you can feel the burning flame of love start burning in your spirit. You know that feeling? And the more we respond to that burning flame of love, even when it's at 2:30 in the morning, it'll burn greater and greater all the time. So there's a reason that we don't want to neglect that call. And as I laid there in bed, God started moving upon me to get up and pray for this one particular couple that we're walking with. And it's just like boom and boom, and I can feel the heartbeat of God. And finally at 3:08, I gave in and got up 38 minutes later, but I got up. And I went and made my coffee because I felt like, well, I'm up for the day, because you could just feel the alertness and the passionate fire of God that you were going to be up for a while. I got me some coffee and I went and sat out on the back porch. And I started to thank the Lord for the 30-year journey with my wife and where He's brought our life from. And I started thanking the Lord for this particular couple. And I started praying and I started praying and I started praying. And I go, God is for, can I quit? But you could feel the burning flame of God. You see, what I'm trying to get you to understand, religion will tell you that you have to stay on something instead. No, you stay on something until God lets you off of it. And the more that we test those waters, the more that we will know, no, God still has me here. He still has my heart engaged into this situation. And I'm to pray, and I'm to pray. And all the way until 10 till 6 that morning, He had me praying for this situation over and over. And then at 10 till 6, God says, you can go to bed. And I went to bed until 7:10. So it was a good another hour and 20 minutes. And I share that story because where God puts you to pray, there's grace there. There's this enormous oil to pray. I wasn't tired, wasn't weary. I was glad when He said, go ahead and go to bed for a little bit. But you see, I want to back up of what you heard of Sherelle share the testimony last week of her breakthrough. She sent Celia and I a text message a few days before the Tuesday morning incident when God had me up for about 3.5 hours. And she shares with me what's going on the text message at her job. And I said, yeah, we'll pray. Boom, step into the oil, if you will. Oil is the Holy Spirit of a type and shadow. I said, Lord, what do you mean to pray over her? You see, if you're a friend, all you got to do is ask. And a friend will speak. And this is very, very important. You need to be getting it into the Word more and more, because I pray from the Word. God gives me, as I ask Him what He says, He says, it's a Haman situation, and pray that the Haman, and it's the story of Esther, because the Lord just gives me the phrase Haman across my mind's eye. And He says, pray that the very spirit that Haman was going to use to build the gallows, to kill all the Jews, pray that that spirit will be destroyed in her workplace. Guess how long that prayer initiative lasted? 5 minutes was all. It wasn't a 3-hour journey. We have to learn, just like I came out and I shared with the worship team a while ago, they did a great job during rehearsal, but you could feel all of a sudden when they did that one song that there was a lot of great anointing on every song, but there was like, God is on this song. We've got to start putting up our spiritual antennas and go, wow, there is something blowing big on this song, or there's something blowing big on this prayer initiative. And there's going to be sometimes on a Tuesday morning, the prayer initiative lasts 3 hours. And there's going to be sometimes the prayer initiative for that situation lasts 5 minutes. You see, if we'll truly get to that place of only praying and doing what we're hearing and seeing, what the Father is saying and doing of what Jesus said, we won't get bogged down in religion. You see, some of you guys are prayer list people, and you feel like you got to pray over this prayer list. And please, I want prayer list people praying over me, please. Because they are going to cover every gamut, man. And I like that because I know I'm going to get prayed for every day. But we've got to take this prayer list, and there's going to be some days God says, you can pray for Mike for 2 minutes. He's going to be good. The next day, exactly, and move on. And then pray for Rhett for 2 hours because the brother's struggling. Whatever it may be, we've got to get freedom. Religious spirit will say, no, you got to stay 5 minutes there, 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 and your time and your watch has nothing to do with intimacy. If I treated my wife like that, she'd slap me upside the head. And she already has a few times. It's just intimacy and freedom. It's just going, man, God, you told me and showed me something to pray for Sherelle. I got it. And then you heard the testimony. That day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they come in and go, the lady who had been giving her a hard time, you're fired. Get on out of here. Another lady, boom, readjusting her. Again, our battle's not against flesh and blood. It was not that lady. But there was a spirit in that workplace that needed to be dealt with. You've been called to fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. You have an authority to pray over things that'll see it radically changed. But the bride of Christ must return to a place of intimacy. Pray into the place that you have favor and grace. Pray into the place that you have favor and grace. For sometimes there's going to be grace about, as Ezekiel says, water up to the ankle. Can I tell you that if you'll be faithful to pray in that arena, the water will rise? And then you go down your prayer list and all of a sudden, woo, I found a little water up to my knees. There's a little bit more authority here and the ebb and flow of the Holy Spirit's going out and touching more. And you go further down into your prayer journey that day and, woo, man, there's water up to my waist. Did you feel the Holy Spirit move today? That's where we've got to learn to start putting up our spiritual antennas and go, whoa, I need to camp out here. God's doing something. If you saw the Holy Spirit, the three words that went boom, 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 and then see His word, the Holy Spirit was tying it all together. When you look at Lori as she put the songs together and she goes, wow, all these words have strong in it. And one of them had about communion. Well, I asked Rebecca on Thursday about doing communion for ministry. The Holy Spirit through the week was tying things together. Let's get to where He's at. To have a prayer life that's based and bathed from the place of the Holy Spirit. And you can pray for people's workplace, and people will be dealt with the way they need to be dealt with. For some of us, I'm going to say it again, you've been edgy lately with other relationships on the face of the earth because you've been neglecting your place of intimacy. Last but not least, I'm going to close in this. This is probably where I'll hit back next time. Moses had a lot of regrets. Exodus 3. He's the one that it says in Exodus 33 that he talked to God, as a man speaks to a friend, friend to friend. I want to be known like that, like Enoch and Moses. Man, Mike talked to God like he was his friend. And God talked back like Mike was his friend. I feel like there's some people here you have regrets. Moses, for 40 years, regrets may be that prayers haven't been answered, whatever it may be. And Moses had been on the backside of a desert, had killed a guy about 50 years earlier. Thought he was the deliverer, but thought he could do it on his own strength and not by the Spirit of God. You see, God wants to take all of us where we're not trying to do our prayer life on our own strength, but by the Spirit of God. But in this particular day, Moses is on the backside of the desert, and all of a sudden he sees a bush burning in the distance. When you do a study on that in the desert, there would be bushes that would just combust at different times, I guess because of the heat and everything. And they would burn out, though. And all of a sudden, Moses probably realized, wow, I've turned and looked at that thing probably three or four times and didn't have a watch, but he's thinking, wow, it's been 15 minutes. That bush is still burning. And I really believe this is the way the story went down, because they'd seen bushes combust in the desert before, but they'd go out because it was consumed. 30 minutes later, he turns and looks at the bush again, and it's still aflame. Scripture says, I'm going to turn and go look and see what this is. You see, God is such a friend, he'll always woo you back to that place to burn away the regrets. 40 years, 50 years of regrets. Moses walks close. Now, don't you know this was freaky that day? The bush goes, Moses, Moses. Now, I'm telling you, man, I can't wait to talk to Moses about that story, because you know he had to freak out. He may have even used more than the word crap, Matt. Scared the bejesus out of him. And he probably thought, yes. And God says, take your sandals off that represent, I believe, the regrets of life, the disappointments. For you see, Moses, today's a new day. It's a new start. And come closer, because the ground that I possess is holy and it's fresh. And from that place forward, and that's where we're going to go journeying in the weeks ahead, is this incredible life of Moses that would go from Exodus 3 of struggling with God forgiving him and all the regrets to getting to a place, I speak to God as a friend speaks to a friend. So I want to pray for all of us and close. And I appreciate you listening so well. And God's going to take us into some real cool places in prayer, because it's going to be from a place of intimacy. Let's pray. Well, Father, we do love you and we give you praise for your goodness and greatness. And Holy Spirit, let every one of us hear you speak our name today. Mike, Mike. Ryan, Ryan. Wendy K, Wendy K. She gets two names in there. Let us hear those words. And Lord, I thank you that you burn the regrets and disappointments away. And I thank you that you're a fire that cannot be put out. Lord, I pray that through the day, every disappointment and regret, I mean, would just be totally obliterated by your incredible love. That we can no longer come up with our excuses of our inadequacies. Well, I don't speak well. No, we'd be able to say, now the great I am sent me. So, Lord, we love you and we give you praise. I speak your blessings, blessings, blessings over all these precious people. May our prayer life become incredible for your glory and honor. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.